First Kings chapter number 21, verse number 1. And it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, Give me thy vineyard that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said to Ahab, The Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. Praise God. Notice that, verse number 3. Naboth said to Ahab, The Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. Praise God. The Lord will help me tonight. I want to preach on not for sale. Praise God. You probably heard that title preached before. I've never preached it in 16 years I've been preaching. Never preached from this text of Scripture. Amen. But I'd like to preach tonight for a little while, if the Lord will help me, on not for sale. Amen. Seems like we're living in a time where a lot of folks are selling out for what the world has to offer. Amen. The Bible said in the last days, concerning the last days, Paul likened it to perilous times. Amen. Said there'll be a great falling away in the last days. And I believe we could say that we're seeing that in the hour that we're living in right now. Praise God. Amen. It's sad to see those that have turned back from the ways of the gospel, that has known Christ, that has known the blessings of God, that has known the power of His Spirit, that has stood in the holiness of His presence, but yet they sell out for what the world has to offer that's only going to last for just a little while. Amen. The devil has deceived and diffused so many people into believing that what he has to offer is worth a lot more than what they possess. But I want to tell you tonight, before I ever start preaching, if you're saved tonight, there's nothing worth salvation. Praise God. If you could take the whole world and every dollar in it and own the whole piece of property of the existence of the earth, you still wouldn't have the value of your salvation. Amen. We're living in the last days, and it seems like the devil's doing everything within his power to rob people of their salvation. Amen. The Bible tells us, amen, that God's people is a peculiar people. Amen. We know that we're a separated people, that we're a holy people unto the Lord. Amen. But it seems like in these last days that the devil's come around and he's telling folks, you don't have to live holy no more. You don't have to live separated anymore. You don't have to live dedicated anymore. Amen. I've got something better to offer you. Amen. I want you to realize that in the hour that we're living in today, this old-time religion that most of us know about ain't very popular in the world today. Amen. The devil's come up with a better way of religion. He's come up with a better way of serving God. And there's been a whole lot of folks that has bought what he's had for sale, and they've turned away from the blessing of God. Amen. I hope the Lord will help me preach here for a little while tonight. Amen. This has been on my heart for about a week, and I'd like to preach tonight on not for sale. Amen. You know, there's a lot of things in life that we put value on. I remember my dad, amen, when I was a young man, he promised every one of us boys, he said, son, if you'll play an instrument, I'll buy you an instrument. Amen. My brother and myself, my two brothers, amen, we got interested in music real fast when dad said, I'll buy you one. Amen. We began to play the piano, me and my oldest brother. Amen. I started playing the bass guitar when I was 8, pecking on drums when I was about 4 years old. Amen. Raised around it. But at that time, I got to be a teenager, about 15, and I saw this guitar in a music store, and it just so happened that it's the most expensive guitar in the whole music store. And my mom was out shopping in the mall, and I went out there and I began to tell her about that guitar. I said, "Mom, that's the prettiest guitar I've ever laid my eyes on. It was walnut wood, a black face plate on it, and trimmed with 22 karat gold. I mean, it caught my eye immediately when I walked in the music store." And she said, "Let's look at it." And we went in there, amen, years ago. This was a pile of money. Amen. She rolled over the price tag, and it said $1,099. And I thought, "Mom, I wish you'd have never looked at that price tag. I wanted you just to see that guitar." Amen. But we went home. Amen. We're sitting around the supper table. And Mom said, "Huh, son, why don't you tell your daddy about that guitar that you seen today?" Well, there was a black Telecaster right beside it, and it was only $575. And so I began to tell him about that black Telecaster. But Bobby, I thought for sure he'll buy me that guitar. Amen. I knew the other one was out of the question. But my mom looked across the table with a funny look on her face and said, "That's not the guitar that you showed me. Tell him about the one you showed me." And I said, "But Mom, you seen the price tag on that guitar." And she said, "Tell him about it." And I began to tell my father that night at the supper table about that guitar. And much to my amazement, he said, "How about us going down there and looking at that?" And we went down there, and then we found out that the guy that run that music store played in a rock band with my daddy's cousin, and my cousin too, but my daddy and him had the same first names. Both their names is Jerry. And my dad introduced himself. Amen. This guy found out that he was cousins to the same Jerry Pierce that he played with in the rock band. And he said, "I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you a price that you can't refuse on that guitar." He said, "We're fixing to move from this store to another store. Amen. And they'll give you a good price. And we'll slash a lot off of that. And you can buy that guitar tonight." My dad said, "How much are you going to give it to me for?" He said, "Well, I'll give it to you for $768 and throw in a strap, a cord, and a hard shell case. How does that sound?" And my dad said, "We'll take it." And brother, you talking about something rising up in me? There was something that began to rejoice. Amen. Because I was fixing to have the guitar of my dreams. Amen. We didn't know at that time that it was a collector's item. They only made 25 of them, and they'll never make them again. It was an anniversary model of Fender. Amen. Several years later, my dad told me, said, "Son, that guitar's worth quite a bit of money. You could sell that guitar and buy you four or five guitars, amen, that cost as much as that one did." And I looked at my dad and I said, "Not for sale." Amen. You know why? That I had got something that was precious to me. And I made up my mind the day that I brought that guitar home that no matter what the value of it is, I'll never sell it. Amen. Because my father bought that guitar for me. Amen. Oh, I've played in a lot of camp meetings and I've been offered some ridiculous prices for it. Amen. But I look at them and I say, "Not for sale." I want you to know something, my friend. There's something in this world that we can get a hold of that's worth much more value than a guitar. That's worth much more value than a car or a home that we live in. And that is our salvation. I want you to realize that in the hour that we're living in today, the devil has an offer and the devil has a price for your salvation. It doesn't matter how young, it doesn't matter how old you are. The devil will buy you out. at any time that you want to sell. Amen. I want to preach here for just a little while tonight on this man Naboth. The Bible doesn't tell us a whole lot about this man, but I've studied a few things, amen, found out a few things about this man, and the more that I read about him, the more I like this man Naboth. Amen. He wasn't a super wealthy man. I don't guess he was a man that was known, amen, throughout all of Samaria. I don't guess he was a real popular man. Amen. But his name, Naboth, means fruits. Amen. And that's good enough for me right there. Praise God. If we could just bear some fruits, amen, what a benefit would it be to the society, amen, that is around us. He was the owner of a piece of ground on the eastern slope of the hills of Jezreel, the Bible tells us. It lay right against the palace of Ahab. I mean, it joined the palace of Ahab. There wasn't any land between the two. Amen. And this seems to be the only piece of ground that Naboth owned. I searched scripture, I searched commentaries, and I couldn't find anywhere in where the Bible or historians ever say that Naboth had anything other than this piece of ground, amen, besides the plot that his house was up on. Amen. But this piece of ground that was given him was an inheritance of his father's, hallelujah, that had been handed down to him. But you see, Ahab, the king of Samaria, amen, every day when he got up and looked out his window in his summer palace there in Jezreel, where him and Jezebel was staying at this particular time. Amen. Every time that he walked up to the edge of his porch or looked out his window, he was looking at this vineyard of Naboth. And he thought to himself, oh, it'd be great if I owned that vineyard. I could plant my herbs right there, right at next to my palace. I wouldn't have to walk across his or go around his or overlook his, amen, to see my vineyard. I could have one right up next to my palace. And so Ahab desired this vineyard of Naboth. Amen. Amen. We find where he went to Naboth and he began to question him and he began to covet his vineyard. He requested the right to purchase this vineyard from Ahab. Now listen what he tells Naboth. Amen. He says, give me thy vineyard that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near to my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it, or if it seem good to thee, I will give the worth of it in money. That sounds like a pretty clean deal to me. I'll trade you vineyards, or you name the price, and I'll give you whatever you desire for your vineyard. Amen. But you see, amen, Naboth wasn't interested in selling this vineyard because it was his inheritance. I want you to notice here, amen, it wasn't anything wrong, amen, with Ahab asking or desiring to buy this vineyard, but the sin became when he coveted this vineyard. Amen. He didn't want any other, but it had to be this one. And so when he comes to Naboth, and Naboth tells him that the vineyard is not for sale, the king became very angry. He became disappointed, and he began to act very childish. He went back into the palace. He went into his bedchamber, and he laid upon his bed and turned his face to the wall, amen, stuck out his lower lip and began to pout like a baby. Amen. I want you to realize tonight tonight. Some things in life, no matter how bad you want them, you ain't going to get them. Hallelujah. Just some things in life that we are denied. Some things that money doesn't have the power to buy. Some things in life, no matter how much money or how much prestige that you've got, amen, you're not going to get it. Hallelujah. And this is where Ahab was. He was coveting this vineyard. He wouldn't be happy without it. So therefore, he refused to eat. And he laid up on his bed and turned his head to the wall. He had done right in offering to purchase it. But his spirit, his attitude, amen, was unquenchable. It wouldn't be satisfied with Naboth saying, no, it's not for sale, it's not for trade. Hallelujah. But I want to preach to you tonight that the devil is never satisfied when he's refused. Amen. He doesn't give up just because you get up and testify and say, I'm determined to hold out to the end. I'm determined to hold on to this experience that I received in the altar the night that I gave my heart and life to Jesus Christ. The devil is not satisfied with that. And his hunger for your salvation is unquenchable. Amen. Just like Ahab's is. For you see, if you stopped and you thought about the hundreds and thousands, possibly even millions, that went to hell whenever the flood came and God destroyed the humanity from the face of the earth and only saved Noah and his house, all the animals in the ark. Amen. Some historians say there was already over 1 million people on the face of the earth at that time. Amen. You would think that hell would be satisfied with 1 million souls. Amen. But it isn't. Amen. When Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed by fire, they said that there was over 200,000 people in each of those cities that immediately was burned up and sucked into hell. And you would think that the devil would be satisfied with that amount of people. But he isn't. You see, he's still got something to offer you. Hallelujah. I want you to realize tonight, amen, it doesn't matter how old you may be, the devil is always going to have a price upon your head. He's always going to have a temptation. He's always going to have a bargain. But brothers and sisters, we need to stand up and say, not for sale. Hallelujah. Amen. Get the picture here. And I'm going to get on Naboth here in a minute, but I've got to lay a foundation to preach to you. Jezebel walks in the bedchamber, amen, where Ahab is laying on the bed, sulking and pouting and whining around. Amen. She asked her husband, what's wrong? And Ahab began to explain to her his desire for this plot of land that joins the palace property, and explained to her his desire for this vineyard, amen, that he could plant his herbs in that vineyard. But I want you to notice, amen, he tells her his sad story, how he wants that vineyard, but Naboth's not willing to trade or sell for that vineyard. Amen. He absolutely said nothing about the reason why that Naboth must keep this piece of property. He doesn't tell Jezebel that it's forbid him of God to get rid of his inheritance. Amen. But you see, that's the way the devil does. He's very conniving. He's very deceiving. Most of the time, he only tells half the story. And so Jezebel, amen, turns with scorn and madness. And she looks down at him and says, dost not thou govern the kingdom of Israel? Amen. In other words, what are you doing lying down here just because you can't get a piece of land. What's the good of being king if you can't take what you want and get what you want? You've got the power to take that from Naboth. You have the power to get whatever you want. You don't have to accept no as an answer because you are the king. Amen. Listen to me tonight. Amen. She told him, arise and eat bread and let thine heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. And Jezebel began to make a plan. Amen. Ahab knew that there was mischief in her heart. And if he'd have been the man that he should have been, he'd have rose up off of that bed and have said, as long as I'm king, even though you're queen, if you touch one hair on Naboth's head, it'll cost you your life. But he was a coward. Amen. He didn't have the courage to fight his own battles. And so he allowed his wife to go with her crooked dealings and with mischief in her heart. And he said, I'll just act like I don't know what's going on. He knew that she was up to something, and he could have avoided it. He could have stopped it. But he said, I want that vineyard. I want to tell you, my friend, that's what the devil's saying tonight. I want that vineyard. I'm not going to be happy with a no. I'm not going to be happy with rejection. I desire that vineyard. If you don't sell out to the devil today, he's going to knock again tomorrow. He's going to come back in a little while with a higher price. I want to tell you, my friend, in the hour that we live in, we need to look the devil square in the eye and say, I'm not for sale. Amen. Jezebel didn't waste any time. She took immediate action on the task that she was about to give. Amen. She wrote a command to the officials of the city where Naboth lived and ordered them to plot his execution. She used the king's name and his imperial seal to indicate that the king had given his full authority for this to be carried out. Amen. In the letter, she suggested that the pretense of religion would be used by proclaiming a day of fast for the citizens of the city. You see, in ancient times, a lot of times, a day of fasting was sometimes set aside in order to show concern that a criminal or some other evil had threatened the city. And so she's just going to cover it up with religion. Isn't that way a lot of people cover up their sin? Amen. I've been told, preacher, I wouldn't have sold out. I wouldn't have quit the church if it wasn't for so-and-so. What a cheap, poor excuse. Amen. There's always a reason. Amen. You can always find an excuse to sell. Amen. Jezebel wanted her excuse covered up with religion. Amen. So that's what she done. And she set them out to falsely accuse Naboth. Amen. But I want to preach to you about this man, Naboth, for just a little bit. Amen. Because I'd like to preach for just a little while. Amen. Right here. Oh, not for sale. You see, this man, Naboth, was a man that was settled in what he believed. Hallelujah. He was convinced. Amen. I'd like to preach to you a little bit about Naboth being convinced. He was convinced that his inheritance was given to him by his fathers. Hallelujah. You see, a lot of times we sit in the church house and we come to church service after service. We lift our hands. We worship God. We sing with a special singing. We sing with a choir. We'll amen the preacher. Amen. We'll come to the altars. Amen. But do we really realize that this inheritance that we possess, that's deep down in our soul. Amen. I'm not talking about $100,000 that you're going to inherit at the death of your father or your mother. But I'm talking about old time religion, about salvation that has been inherited by us, that's been handed down to us. I want to tell you, my friend, when I gave my heart and life to Jesus Christ in the altar almost 17 years ago, I made up my mind that what I got that night was never going to be for sale. I wouldn't consider the world. I wouldn't consider turning around. I wouldn't consider listening to worldliness or compromising doctrine. I made up my mind that I had received something that night that was worth dying for. I had received something that night that was worth holding on. And I got up as Nahoth did, and I was convinced that I had an inheritance. Amen. Naboth realized that what he had, no man could take from him. Not even the king. Hallelujah. Not even the king. Praise God. Are we convinced in our hearts tonight that what we've got, nobody has the power to take it from us? Are we so convinced that what we have tonight is not going to just hold us here for 30, 40, 50, 60 years, whatever the time limit may be, but what we possess is an eternal inheritance? You see, I've seen land, amen, come down, amen, as an inheritance from a family and be ready to be split among the children. Amen. I've seen property and in the ministry you see a lot of things nobody else sees. Amen. But I've been around folks at the time of the passing of a loved one. Amen. Before they ever got them in the coffin, they was already arguing over their inheritance. What I'm going to get, what you ain't going to get. Amen. Daddy said I could have this. Mama said that was mine. I'm going to get the biggest portion of property. I'm going to get the car. I'm going to get the house and land. Brother, I've heard it go on and on. Amen. They were convinced that it was theirs. Amen. I remember when my grandmother passed away. Amen. She had went through the house and there was things that she had. They wouldn't have no value, just sentimental value. Amen. As far as money, but it wasn't worth much. But she had took a piece of tape and wrote whose name that she wanted that to go to at her passing. And all the family did was when she passed away, as my dad and his sister went in the house, they took pictures off the wall. They took whatnots out of the china cabinet. They took things off the coffee table and they had little pieces of tape names on them, and they just begin to give them to who grandmother wanted them to have. Amen. It was part of their inheritance. Amen. Naboth was convinced that this portion of land that he had was all that he had that was given to him from his fathers. I want you to know, my friend, that in this life that we live, you may have a fancy car, you may have a fancy home, you may have a lot of property, but all that you really have is your inheritance that is handed down from God. It's the only thing that's going to last. And until we're convinced of this inheritance, we won't appreciate the value of our inheritance. You see, there's been many that you know and that I know that has sold their inheritance because they didn't realize the value of it. I remember a story years ago. I had a cousin and his grandpa, my mind went blank. His last name was Estes. I can't remember his first name though, right offhand. Anyway, he had a little money. He had farmed and saved up. And amen, when the war come along, the depression hit. There was a lot of people in the community didn't have much, and they had to sell property and sell a lot of things that they had in order to buy groceries, in order to live and to make it. Amen. A lot of people went to Mr. Estes and they asked him if he'd like to buy their property. He'd saved up some money. Amen. Things wasn't real good back then. Amen. In the late 30s and early 40s. But he would buy their property because he felt sorry for them. He really didn't want all that property, but he felt sorry for them, and he'd give them whatever they wanted for their property, and they'd go on their way, and amen, they'd survive. Amen. And he had all of this property. Amen. Little did he know, as time went on, amen, the value of that property began to increase and elevate and continually to climb. Amen. And after a period of 30, 40 years later, that property was worth a lot of money. And Mr. Estes was worth a whole lot of money. Amen. But when you seen him, amen, he didn't look like he had any money because he really didn't realize the value of the land that he possessed. I pastored a man down in Lake Placid, Florida. He was a bug farmer. Amen. He had a lot of property and made quite a bit of money in bugs, but he was raised real poor. And I mean, he had $100,000 didn't mean anything to him. It was like $10. Even we know that he had $100,000. He didn't really realize what he could do with $100,000. Amen. You know, a lot of times, a lot of old timers are like that. They don't realize the value of what they've got because they was raised poor. And really, only value that they see is what they can do with what they can see with their eyes. Amen. This old farmer was that way. Amen. He didn't realize how wealthy that he was. Everybody in the community, amen, looked up to him because he had quite a bit of money. Amen. But to talk to him, amen, he'd tell you he's poor as Job's turkey. And he didn't realize, amen, the value of everything that he had. If you took his tractors, his property, his farm equipment, his barns and all of that and put it together, over $1 million he was worth. Amen. But he didn't really think that he had nothing because his home was not a new home. It was the same one he'd lived in for 40 years. His barns didn't have vinyl siding on them. They were just old tin barns, pole barns. Amen. He didn't realize the value of what he possessed. But there's one thing that he did realize, and that was the value of what he had in his heart. And there was a lot of people that would try to convince him of different things, but he would tell them right quick, amen, I'm not for sale. I want to tell you, my friend, there's been times in the ministry, amen, that people has come up to me, amen, not here, but in different places. Amen, they've stuck money in my hand. And 2 or 3 days later, amen, they tell me, I appreciate it. If you don't mention such and such, I would open up my wallet. I would take the money out of my pocket. I would put it right back in their hand and say, sorry, sir, I'm not for sale. I want to tell you, my friend, this gospel that I preach, this life that I live, this inheritance that I've gained, I am convinced that it'll last when the world's on fire. And I made up my mind that I'm not for sale. Amen. He was convinced. But he wasn't only convinced. Naboth was convicted. Listen to what the Bible has to say. Hallelujah. He said in our text tonight, in verse 3, the Lord forbid it me. It is commanded that I cannot sell this inheritance. For you see, the book of Leviticus, the 25th chapter, amen, in verse number 23, the Lord spoke through Moses and the children of Israel. And this is what he said. The land shall not be sold forever, for the land is mine. For ye are strangers and sojourners with me. In other words, what God was saying, I'm giving you this land to possess. I'm giving you this land to live off of. I'm giving you this land to make money off of. Amen. I'm giving you this land as an inheritance. But you don't have the right to sell it because I'm the creator of it. It's mine. Hallelujah. And so Naboth was convicted. And he realized that this inheritance, it didn't matter if the king wanted it. It didn't matter if the queen wanted it. It didn't matter if they desired to trade him the palace for this little vineyard that he had. He was forbid of God for him to sell this vineyard. Hallelujah. I want you to realize tonight that we are bought with a price. We are the temple of God. And it is forbid of God for us to sell out to the devil. Hallelujah. Even though the devil may come and the devil may offer a high price, He offers pleasures. He offers entertainment. He offers prestige. He offers a lot of things. Brothers and sisters, we better be convicted as Naboth was with the Word of God and realize that we're not for sale. Amen. You know, we're living in a time today where you don't find a whole lot of people with convictions. Hey man, right here in the Hamilton area. Hey man, there's a lot of churches. But how many people do you really know that's got convictions? Hallelujah. You see, there's a lot of times that folks are sold out to the devil because they didn't have no convictions. Amen. I'm not one to preach personal convictions. I have things that I feel like is wrong for me, but I don't preach because it's probably not wrong for you to do. Amen. But God has personally convicted me of some things that if we opened up discussion tonight, there would be some of you that would stand up that's been convicted of some things that God has never even convicted me of. It doesn't matter, amen, how strange. Amen. Your standard is, we're not trying to measure, amen, who's the strictest, who's the tightest, who can preach it the straightest. Amen. But I will say this, whether you're a teenager or whether you're a grandpa and grandma, if you don't have convictions, amen, there is a possibility that you will sell out eventually when the devil gets a price high enough. I want you to realize tonight, church, it's important for us to pray and live close enough to God to have convictions. Amen. I hear a lot of people in the day and hour that we're living in say, well, that's the old Bible. I'm a New Testament Christian. Jesus said, I come not to destroy the law, but that the law may be fulfilled. Amen. He didn't come to wait to do away with the law, but He come to fulfill the law. Amen. And I've said many times, there's three laws in the Bible. You got the law of nature, you got the law of God, the Father, and you got the law of Jesus Christ that are mentioned in Scripture, or the law of Moses, not Jesus Christ. The law of Moses, the law of God, and the law of nature. Amen. There was laws that Moses writ that was just government laws. He wrote them because he thought that if he had some law, it would bring government and control among the nation of Israel while he was the leader of Israel. Amen. But you can't get them laws mixed up, amen, with the law that God wrote in the tablets of stone. You see, there's a lot of folks that'll say, well, that's just the old law. Amen. But brother, the Ten Commandments was the law of God, and they're still the law of God. Hallelujah. Amen. We're living in a time today, amen, of little convictions. Amen. Brother Jim Gillis preached for us here, amen, probably six weeks ago. And he made a mention of Judge Roy Moore, amen, down in Alabama, and how he stood for the Ten Commandments. And he put his job, his life, his career on the line. Amen. When he fought for the Ten Commandments to be in his courtroom. Amen. That's a man with convictions. Amen. He may not live just like I live. I may not approve of a lot of things that he does. But it's a man that has convictions when he's willing to put his life, his family, and his career on the line for what he believes in. And I want to tell you tonight, church, we need to be convinced of our inheritance. But we also need to be convicted in order to hold on to that inheritance. Amen. Naboth was convinced. He was convicted. But he was also a man of commitment. He was a committed man of God. He was noble in all of his ways. He knew that it would not be right to sell his inheritance. And so he made up his mind. It doesn't matter what the king says. It doesn't matter what the queen says. My inheritance is not for sale. Hallelujah. Amen. If it cost him a lot, his life, he was willing to give his life before he would give up his inheritance. Amen. I want to ask you the question tonight. Are we that convinced? Are we that convicted? And are we that committed that we're willing to give our life for our inheritance? Amen. That's a question that probably a lot of preachers to the ages of time have asked. And there's probably been a lot of hands that went up and said, I'm convinced. I'm convicted. I'm committed. I'm not for sale. But where are they today? Where are they today? Amen. I don't understand a lot of things in life. I don't understand the way a lot of people think. Amen. But I sure felt like preaching this to somebody tonight. You better get it in your heart that you're not for sale. Amen. The devil's got you a bargain. The devil has a price on your head, and he'll pay high stakes to see you walk out of them doors and turn away from what you believe in. Amen. You say, preacher, it'll never be me. I'll never do it. I've had people tell me that before. That's not a part of the church tonight. Amen. But I want to tell you something. You can be a Naboth. You have the power to be a Naboth. You have the power to make up your mind right now and say, I don't care what the devil offers. Don't care how high his price goes. I'm not for sale. I told you about that guitar that my dad bought me. Just a few months ago, my dad told me again, we was talking. He said, you've been playing that guitar? I said, no, I ain't played it in several years. It's in the case, behind the couch. I ain't played it in several years. Probably ain't even opened the case in 6 or 8 months. And when he said, why don't you sell that guitar and buy you another good guitar, put money in the bank. And I looked at my dad, and I smiled real big, and I told him again, not for sale. Amen. There's some things that just ain't worth selling. Did you hear me? I said there's some things that just ain't worth selling. My dad said, son, that guitar may be worth $5,000. It may be worth $10,000. You need to find out the value of that guitar, and you might want to sell. And I looked at my dad and I said, not for sale. See, the way I look at it, it's like this. I've never had $25,000 in the bank.
And if that guitar is worth $25,000, I've not missed it for 37 years. And if it was there, I'd probably miss the guitar more than I'd enjoy the $25,000. Amen. That's the way I feel about this experience that I received in the altar. Amen. The devil may offer me, and he may offer you, the whole world. But what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? As they come to get us a song tonight, amen, I wonder if there's a Naboth in the house tonight that'd slip up their hand and say, "Preacher, I'm not for sale." Hallelujah. I'm not for sale. I've made up my mind that no matter what comes or what goes, or who backslides or who don't, I'm not for sale. Praise God. Amen. I've heard men say, if every imp of hell rises up, I'm not going to backslide. But they're backslid today. Amen. But I want to tell you, my friend, you don't have to give up your inheritance. You don't have to sell out for the devil's price. But you can have what's been handed down to you from your Heavenly Father. Praise God. As we stand all over this house tonight, are you for sale? Have you bargained with the devil? Have you been talking about a price? You know, one of the biggest problems in our churches today is when the devil comes around, we listen to what he has to say. Amen. We know it's a devil, and we know the devil is a liar and the father of all lies. Why do we lend him our ear and listen to him quote a price? Why do we lend him our ear and listen to him bargain to our souls when we know it's the devil in the beginning? Amen. If you're not careful, your convictions is not going to be strong enough to hold you, and you're going to sell. Are you hearing me tonight? I said, if you're not careful, your convictions are not going to be strong enough, and you're going to sell. Amen. As they begin to sing tonight, every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around, please. I wonder if there's one in this service tonight that would be honest before me and God. Say, "Brother Pierce, the devil's been fighting me. But I want to make up my mind that I'm not for sale tonight in this service." Would you slip your hand up, slip it right back down?
Oh, but I made up my mind to make it through.
I feel like there's others out here in this service tonight.
Before the first round started,
the devil's been battling you every day. Been knocking on your heart's door.
But I'll get up
trying
again.
To pull you away.
I'll control
you say, "Preacher,
my
pray for me.
Cause I can't afford
I don't
want to
sell
lose.
Out.
I've
I'm
made
not
up
for
my
sale.
Mind to make
but
it
the
through.
Devil's been offering me a price. Is there
well,
another?
Before the first
was another
round
one.
Started, settle fight.
Is there another
I
in this church house tonight?
I might even get knocked down, but I'll
all right,
get
as we
again.
Open up these altars tonight,
I'll
why don't you come?
My tempo,
as the church comes, let's gather around these altars and find us a place
I
to pray.
My